Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, the basketball season is in full swing, and we'll get you caught up on all the storylines that have defined the early season. Plus, we've got game changers. We'll highlight the top players over the last week, and we'll get you set up for some of the biggest matchups coming up in the next week. All next on Game Time.
We're back on Game Time here on SDPB. It's 2026 now.
Yeah.
After a couple weeks off, took 2 weeks off for the holiday season. And I'm Nate Weck, joined by Jason Andera. Jandy, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. I hope you had a celebratory New Year. It's a privilege always doing this show with you, and I look forward to doing it the rest of the way here with basketball.
And we took a couple weeks off, but the kids on the court did not, and we've got to get you filled in and everything that was happening over South Dakota, and trust me, there's a lot to get to. So let's dig in, Nate.
All right. Well, some of the headliners that we have, I know we have, you know, we've got some A schools beating double A schools, yeah, you know, things like that. So like, I just jump in, like, what are some of the headliners to you, Jandy?
Well, some of the big headlines, one of them was Sioux Falls Christian taking out Huron in the Hoop City Classic. That was a big game for both teams to really test themselves. And Sioux Falls Christian kind of played really well throughout the game. Huron got close late, but Sioux Falls Christian showed what they can do as one of the best teams in not only Class A, but the state. And then they went on last night and played against West Central, and now we're finding out just how good this West Central team is. They went on the road, and Connor Mebius put up 23 points. They got the inside game going. They led wire to wire in that game, as nobody's done that to Sioux Falls Christian yet. So those are two big headlines I've seen from Sioux Falls Christian so far this year.
Well, and it was interesting because in our preseason preview for basketball, we did mention that Max Preps, the national organization, said that the best basketball team in South Dakota was West Central. And we kind of looked at that and we're like, what do they know? But now we're starting to see some pop from West Central. We're starting to see them do some impressive things. Not only are they doing some things that are going to put them in a prime position in their class, but they're also making headlines throughout the week.
They are, and we're going to talk about more of them when we get to the rankings reactions of what we've gotten through so far this year, but Dave Hollenbeck's made a huge impact on that team. Some more headlines to talk about: the Midwest Miracles Classic. This was a great event started by Kobe Sherman, who passed away last fall, but the success of the tournament was great, and then on the court, we had some really good matchups as well. And Vibert Hurley, of course, you know, where Kobe's from, got it done against Wall. And they've gotten out to a great start so far this season. But that game in particular, they played so well together. A real testament to what Kobe has done to make this tournament.
Yeah, and I think Kobe's looking down, and I think he's probably pretty proud about what occurred, not just with the games, with the money raised and all that type of stuff. Just to see the event continuing, the Midwest Miracles Classic, obviously it's a great deal.
Yeah, that was cool. Another headline: Mitchell, has played in the Corn Palace for years and years, opened up their brand new gym, and they did it in style. What a game this was against Harrisburg. They were down by 15 points with 2 minutes and 52 seconds left in this game. They got it down to 14 with under 2 minutes to go, and you thought this thing was over, but Carter McCormick had other ideas. A 4-point play with just over a minute left, and then Rammel got a 3-point play, and next thing you know, Harrisburg's missing free throws. Mitchell's making their free throws. It comes down as time expires with a nice pass by Colton Smith to Owen Shesky, and he got the bucket as time expired to push it to overtime. And then Rammel hits a shot in overtime with time expiring to get the win. What a way to usher in a new gym.
Yeah, you always want to, if you're a home team and you have that first home game in a new building, you always want to do it. Maybe not as nerve-wracking, right? I'm sure there were some fans that are coming, waking up today with no fingernails. But at the end of the day, like, you do want to get a victory and have it be something that is going to be memorable. And you talk about an overtime thriller, it doesn't get more memorable than that.
It was classic. And even the people in the gym, you're down by 15 with less than 3 minutes.
Right.
You're kind of closing the book, but never say never. That was a great ending. How about on the girls' side? We had some really cool things headline-wise, and one of those was kind of the Hoosiers game where Lyman takes on Mitchell in the Hoop City Classic, and Lyman gets it done. How about a Class B team taking out a really good AA team? You don't see that very often.
You really don't, and this is what makes the Classics fun. We talked about that on the Classics episode, is that you get to see some move around and some matchups that you're not going to see maybe throughout the regular season in different aspects, so Classics has opened the door for that. An opportunity we probably don't have if we don't see the Classics.
That was good stuff, and we'll talk about more about Lyman later in the show. How about Ashlyn Copel becoming the all-time leading scorer at Wagner? You know, not always a huge deal when you become the all-time leading scorer at your school, but when you break a record by Mandy Copel, right. that's noteworthy. It took Ashlyn a while, and she got it done with some huge games.
Yeah, she also broke Mandy's high jump record, you know, yeah, a couple years ago throughout the track season, and now to have Mandy Copel, her aunt's basketball scoring record at the school. You know, I'm sure those Christmas conversations and different holiday conversations about basketball are pretty fun around the Copel house.
Pretty good stuff. And another big headline, you know, back at the LNI, the first big classic of the year, which was actually last year, you've got Makpialuta doing it not only on the boys' side, but on the girls' side as well. And wow, this Makpialuta team is putting up some outrageous numbers, winning all their games by more than 30 points so far, taking out the number one team in Class B, and just cruising through the LNI. Their next big test comes on January 22nd when they play a double-A team, so we're going to have another one of those cross-clashes going on here in a week or so. But this Makpialuta team, again, we'll talk about them more in the rankings, definitely deserves some headline time in this episode.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how they match up when they play, you know, Sturgis and that kind of thing. And then, you know, they've also got, you know, Rapid City Christian on their schedule, yeah, a little later in the season, who I believe is starting at 8-1. So, I mean, there's going to be some teams here that I think that are going to test Makpialuta here along the way that are going to give us a little bit of a clear identity. But that Bennett County game, you know, you got the state champ that basically brought everybody back from a year ago in Class B, going up against the runner-up in Class A a year ago, Makpialuta, who we've strongly feel is, you know, certainly in that top team conversation. Definitely. In Class A. But to see what Makpialuta did to Bennett County, wow.
Yeah, those were eye-openers, and those are just a few of the big things that happened across the state. We're going to get deeper into some of our rankings, reactions, on how things have fluctuated here over the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, but that gives you a good kind of capsule of what we're talking about. But those of you who woke up early on Wednesday morning looking for the show and didn't see it here yet, tell us why, Nate.
Yeah, so basically we wanted to have the basketball show have the flexibility for all of the Tuesday games to get done. So instead of the show, you know, quickly being produced and coming out early Wednesday morning, it'll now come out a little bit later in the day in the afternoons on Wednesday. So game time is still going to be every Wednesday. Look for it on our YouTube channel. It'll air every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Central, 9 Mountain on SDPB-TV as well. So yeah, just check it out. Just look for it in the afternoons. Look for it right when you wake up in the mornings. But yeah, stay with us as we'll be doing this every week now, all the way through the state tournaments.
So Wednesday, yeah, late afternoons probably, and then at night you can check it out on TV. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, what's next?
Let's maybe, you know, we talked about the teams, we talked about some of the things we liked, and we did drop a few names, but let's go into some of the game changers and some of the individuals. We did this with football where we went over the game changers, and we're going to do it with basketball too. Let's go through it.
Let's start with girls basketball. There was some big-time performances, starting with Ashlyn Carlo Blunt of Makpialuta, a 27-point game, 5 assists, 5 steals against Bennett County. That was really impressive. And the other impressive thing about what she's done so far is she's been a facilitator. They've really spread out the scoring amongst their top 6-7 rotating players. But she's still able to put up those huge games, so congrats to her. Izzy Idy had a 24-point game against Bridgewater. Emery had another 20-plus point game on Tuesday. How about Emerson Eppert against a good Dubrook-ranked team? Went for 27. And then Ethan had several players go off for a big game against Wall. Taziah Hawkins with 18, with 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Rachel Clock did it with a double-double. Marissa Storm, lower on the list here, did it with a 23-point game, 5-assist game with 5 threes in that game against Wall. talked about Ashton Copel setting that record. Here's how she's done it. 38 points against Avon. She did it in that game. She also had a huge game against Winter with 42 more. And then Tuesday night goes for 31 against a highly ranked Class B team. Yeah. She's been amazing.
Yeah, and if you look at the stats too, not just in the scoring, but the rebounds as well. Yeah. These are some serious rebound numbers as well. She's finding ways to just get herself around the glass and getting the ball.
And I watched that game against Ethan. She was double-teamed, had somebody in front of her and behind her the entire game. Slow start for her, but she still finished with over 30 points in the game. So that was crazy. How about Brinley Landis doing it at the Entringer Classic? 32 points, 8 rebounds against Westington Springs. Olivia Padgett's been just crazy for Brandon. We saw how she started the year out against O'Gorman with over 40 points. Well, since then, a 30-point game against T Area last week, and then Tuesday night goes for 27 against Watertown. An amazing performance from Olivia Padgett, who just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, and then you see it too, like 4 steals against T-Area. Yeah. 5, I mean, 5 in the next game against Watertown. So you're starting to see her too. I always love it, like, when you see a score, but then, like, kind of what we've talked about with Copel, where then you see another part of their game also starting to pop, and you see that here too with Padgett.
For sure. And then Addie Simpson, the senior that goes along with that really young group at Mitchell, she's really asserted herself with a couple of big games. And Amory Vander Divorced from North Central went for 28 and 10 against a good Warner team. So that's a look at some, just a touch of some of the performances we saw out there. And we always encourage you, help us out. Let us know if we missed anything and tag us on X or any other social media, or you can send us a message to let us know if you belong on this list.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the people show, right? So anytime you guys have suggestions or anytime you want to feed us any sort of information, we're all for it.
All right, let's look at the boys' game changers list. Brody Albertson, how about this? From ORR, a 24-14. And again, with that many rebounds, putting up that many points, that's good stuff. Chris Beavers out of Clark Willow Lake. We know what Sully Feldberg can do, but look at what he's done with his 18-15 game against Vermilion and then a 19-point game against Westington Springs. Two really good opponents, and he put up some great double-doubles in those two games.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, when you have individuals that you are popping on both the offense and defensive side of the ball, especially when the defense is there, it seems like offense sort of follows that. And, you know, you're going to see this from a lot of players across the state that are really, really good at the game of basketball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, certainly add him to the list.
You got it. Bryson Bruning with a 21-point game against Winter and then followed it up with 28 on Tuesday against Hanson, where they just barely got the win. Noah Fast goes over 30 points for James Valley Christian. Colby Flowers has had a great start in December and then added in a nice performance last week against Highmore Herald with 28 points. Trey Hanson, even though they lost the one game to Clark Willow Lake, he has been consistently great. 22 against Groton, 27 in that lost. And how about Marvin Richard III? You know, almost every one of his games you could put on the game changers list, but this one was special.
Yeah, he's, you know, he did it last year where we started to see the impressive, like the 35 to 45 point games, and you're starting to see it again now too. So he's a unique player. I said it before and I'll say it again. If Marvin Richard III is playing close by you, please make it a point to go watch this kid play. He's a Division I recruit out of Pine Ridge and he is phenomenal.
Yeah, that was against a good Freeman team. Got it done at the Corn Palace. Brady Schrodermeyer, again, another great performance at the Corn Palace against Wall with a 27 and 12 game. He also had a couple blocks in that game. And then Grant Wilkinson, this guy has really turned up to be one of the best basketball players. We know what he can do on the football field, but really the best, one of the best basketball players in Class B, 26 and 22 against Baltic, a good team, and a 31-16 against Why Not. This guy is amazing on the glass.
He must be getting some tips from his brother, right?
Because Damon's playing great at SDSU.
Damon's
too.
Evolved really well, especially that junior senior year of high school. We saw that with Damon, and then we've seen him take that next step too at the collegiate level with SDSU, and now to see Grant sort of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's basketball families, man. That's all I got
to
say.
A lot of great performances. And again, I put a bunch out on X too that didn't quite make this list, but there's a lot more great stuff. And, you know, keep it coming. We'll try to highlight just a handful of the best every week.
All right, so let's just go to some of the rankings reactions here real quick. You know, there's 6 classes, so we are going to move pretty quickly through these. But let's just start with boys AA. You got Sioux Falls Lincoln, that's right at the top. I mean, very, very much so is viewed pretty much across the state right now as the top team.
Yeah, their first game of the year, they worked out some jitters, still got a nice win, but have been dominant since then at the President's Bowl, had a huge win, a 19-point win against Roosevelt, and then came out against Jefferson and beat them by over 20. Those are two really good AA teams. These guys are just clicking. Everybody has their position. They're a little different than last year, but they can go 7, 8, 9 deep and not have to worry about much fall off. This is a really good team. I don't see anybody close to them right now in AA.
Yeah, and you know, we're gonna get the opportunity to see Lincoln versus Huron here coming up in a little over a week. So I mean, we're excited about that with that 1-2 spot. But yeah, talk about, like, because you're high on Roosevelt boys too.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you mentioned that a couple weeks ago, and this was one that we sort of were like, "Ooh, this is going to be a fun
it's
one to watch."
Be fun.
And Lincoln handled it well.
Lincoln was so methodic the way that they moved the ball on the offensive end. They execute better than anybody I've seen at the AA level. But Roosevelt's really good too. Let's mention some more of these teams in Class AA. I think Huron's going to get better and better. They just got Anderson Porsche back for his first game over the break. He's going to be working his way more into a bigger and bigger role in Huron. I think they're going to get better and better. And they've got a Porsche brother and an Elwine brother with Miles Elwine contributing, and Carter Porsche. And, you know, of course, Davis Chase has been awesome for them. And Blake Elwine, of course, their headliner. So Huron's going to be very solid. I think they're going to get better and better as the year goes on. Roosevelt's right there. Spearfish hasn't gotten beat yet, but they haven't beaten a team above 500 yet. And Harrisburg took their second loss of the year against Mitchell. So mm-hmm. Was in the top five, but I think Mitchell's going to be in the conversation with Harrisburg. They're very close.
Yeah, they're neck and neck at that spot down there. And then you've got, you know, you've got Watertown, Brandon Valley,
yeah,
T area. They're all receiving votes as well.
Yeah, T's got a really good young team. Watertown has shown some really impressive ability at the start. Carter Bisker has been awesome for them. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting in AA, but right now Lincoln is the team to beat.
All right, well, let's talk about Class A boys. I know we talked about West Central. We've talked about Sioux Falls Christian. So, I mean, those two teams right at the top there in Class A boys. Let's just start there.
Yeah, we got to start there. And, of course, they played at the Sioux Falls Christian gym on Tuesday night, and West Central got off to a great start. They were pounding the ball inside. They were able to move the ball around on the offensive end. And Sioux Falls Christian has never had problems scoring the basketball. They had a lot of problems scoring the basketball. So for West Central and Dave Hollenbeck, you know, I talked to him preseason. He said it's going to take us a while to get going to where I think we are. It depends on how quickly they get bought in. Well, these guys are bought in on the defensive side. To hold Sioux Falls Christian in the first half to under 30 points and to play the way they did on Tuesday night, West Central is really good. And Will Call, their big man, he has taken a huge step up. I mean, he was able to go man-on-man against Ryan Dielman on the inside and really not have any problems.
So as far as Sioux Falls Christian, you know, where do you go from here? Because you kind of knew that it was going to look a little bit different this season with the departure of Griffin Goodberry. But, you know, is it good to maybe suffer a few of these early in the year and kind of figure out your identity from that?
Yeah, they're definitely going to learn from Tuesday. And you know, if they play again, it's not necessarily going to be the same outcome. This Sioux Falls Christian team is really good, a team that beat Huron. Cooper Goodberry has really bounced back into and been more effective than I thought he would be. Cooper Strandy is still really young, and he's getting better and better. And Brant Wassener is their leader. He is amazing. And then to add the big man on the young big man on the inside with Ryan Dielman, he's just going to get better and better. So this team, yeah, is still getting much better.
Yeah, and this is what the regular season's about.
This is what
figuring
about.
Out all the kinks and polishing it all up for the postseason.
Just quickly, and the rest of, you know, we go through 10 spots. I think Clark Willow Lake's a team we got to keep our eye on. Really impressive wins over Vermilion, Milbank, and Wessington Springs for them. St. Thomas More is definitely in the mix this year. They've played a lot of out-of-state teams, and they're just going to get better and better. Machpia Lucci got on the map with a big win over Wall in the LNI and then took the LNI. And then Tuesday night got another nice win against Little Wound, so I think that's a team to watch. Even though Lenox has two losses, they've bounced back with a couple of nice wins, including a win over Madison. Dakota Valley is just, you know, they took a loss to a couple out-of-state teams, but we'll see how they do when their schedule gets tougher in-state. And then Hamlin's had some great performances from Jackson Wadsworth. Groton's lost early, but they've had a really tough schedule, and Vermilion's another team with a really good schedule who I think belongs in the conversation as a team that could be a player at the state level.
Yeah, lots of anticipated matchups coming up that we were definitely looking forward forward to out of that Class A realm. Class B, we got Viberg Hurley that has been doing some wonderful things.
Yeah.
You talked about him beating Wall at the Midwest Miracles Classic. So let's just talk about Viberg Hurley a little bit more.
Another team where I talked to the coach at the beginning of the year, and Shane Warwick said, we're going to start out slow. We have a really tough schedule. It's going to be a tough start. And look what they've done. A big 7-0 start. Amazing wins over Freeman, BE, Irene Wakanda on Tuesdays, Pine Ridge, and Wall. Their first six wins against teams with winning records. That's really showing well. And then, you know, Tuesday they actually, you know, had a little bit of a letdown against EPJ, but were able to regain control in the fourth quarter and win that game. But that's what they got to protect against. They've been really good, and they've got athletes all over the court. But I personally have been voting Dismet number one for what they've done. Five of their six games have been against 500 teams or above, with big wins over Baltic, you know, a Class A team, St. Mary's, Westington Springs, and Dubrook. That's a tough start. And then with the way Grant Wilkinson and Luthmers has been playing, this is a dangerous team.
Well, okay, so like last year we had Lowy with Castlewood, really big man,
yeah.
Right? So if you have that, especially in Class B, not every school is going to have that.
Yeah.
And that can tip the advantage we've seen in the past for teams.
Yeah, and Grant's not as tall as Lowy, but he is able to dominate a game like that, especially on the glass. So I think he gives them that special sauce that nobody else has right now. Castlewood has not been exactly where they were, ranked number one to come in the season, but they're still a very good team. I think Sully Butte's the team we're probably not talking about enough. They beat Lyman in the opener. That was really impressive to me. And Wesley Whitler has put up multiple, you know, 20-point games to start the season, so they're going to get better and better. Aberdeen Christian, Westington Springs, Wall, don't count them out. Parkston, nice win on Tuesday night. And Freeman, all those teams have suffered a few losses so far. But that, like you said, this is what the regular season's for, is to figure that stuff out. Those guys are contenders when it comes to the late in the year.
Yeah, we talked about Freeman, we've talked about Wall, about how these are two teams that just have so many athletes on their teams. We saw what they did in football, and if they start clicking, if that chemistry side on the basketball court even gets close to what it was on the football field, those teams, I mean, it's not like they have any sort of, like, they have a lot of really good athletes
I still think can
go out and compete, and I think play well at any sporting club.
I still think teams like Wall, they don't quite have the size yet. Freeman, those teams can still beat anybody in these big-time matchups that they're going to have for the next 2 months.
All right, well, let's switch over to the girls' side here. We've got Brandon Valley, dominant start for the Lynx.
This has been one of the biggest surprises to me so far this year. Is not just we knew they'd be a top team, but just how dominant they've been to start the year and how much better Olivia Padgett has looked. Now, we're talking about the player of the year last year. She is better by far this year. She's averaging close to 30 points a game this year. She has been distributing. Gracie Salter has gotten better. Their young players are contributing perfectly. Ava Kellenberger, you know, has been a starter for 4 years for them. This is a very well-rounded team. Love what Brandon Valley's done so far.
Yeah, they're looking really good. You got O'Gorman as well there. That's right in the mix there at the top. And, you know, in Washington, they're 6-0 as well here.
Yeah, and they've beaten, you know, Jefferson and Huron. Haven't had the huge test so far. They've got a big test coming up. We'll talk about in the top tilts. But that's a very well-put-together team with, you know, a couple of seniors and a really good sophomore class. So I think that team will just get better and better as the year goes on.
Any other thing that you want to mention from AA girls?
Quickly, Aberdeen Central, you know, hasn't lost a game in state yet this year. They lost to the top team in North Dakota against Minot. But other than that, they're definitely a team to watch.
All right. And then we've got the Class A girls, Makpialuta, who we think might be, you know, not even just one of the best girls basketball teams in their class, but obviously one of the best in the state, you know. Tremendous start for them. They're on a mission this year. But the surprise is maybe Lenox, the Orioles team. Talk
about
that.
A 7-0 start, including, you know, nice win over the state champs in Sioux Falls Christian and Wagner to get things started. Their team is very well put together as well. And this is one of the best Lenox teams we've had since, you know, they've had the really good talent that got them to the state tournament just a couple of years ago. So I really like this Lenox team. They're not going to surprise anybody out there, but maybe a little bit surprising just how well they've played against some of these top teams. I think Hamlin's right in that group. Sioux Valley is one of the best teams I watched them play Dubrook on Tuesday night. They looked really good. Dakota Valley off to a good start. And then those teams not to forget about. Sioux Falls Christian, yeah, they lost to Lennox, but they're right there. Wagner, West Central took another loss, but I think they're going to be in the mix later in the year. And then, you know, any of these teams, Roncalli, Mobridge, Pollock, too, those lost two really good games. They could be a contender by the year end.
Yeah. Any surprises, I guess, for you?
Yeah, I think some of the surprises.
Like, I know we talked about Lennox, but yeah. Any other surprises for you in Class A girls?
Yeah, definitely. I think this Hamlin team, I was wondering what they would be. They've been taking teams, you know, like Groton, Flandreau, Dubrook, Mobridge, Pollock, a really tough schedule. They played one of the tough schedules to start the year out. I didn't think they'd be undefeated at this point, and they have passed every test.
All right. Well, we got one more class to go. Class B girls. Centerville getting a lot of votes. We talked about how Lyman's been really starting to draw some attention with what they've been doing. What do you like about Class B?
So, yeah, Centerville, obviously a good start for them. But then Tuesday, lost to Gayville Vaughan. And I think getting that number one ranking in their head, I don't know if that had any part to play with it. But Gayville Vaughan's another really good team. But they lost by double digits on Tuesday night. So we're going to have a new number one next week. And who is that team going to be? I think Lyman makes a case. But I think Parkson makes another case, too, with the great start that they've had. Ethan lost on Tuesday. Bennett County's already suffered a couple of losses. But they'll definitely be in the mix. Harding County doesn't play the same type of schedule, but they're going to be undefeated for a while if you look at their schedule. And then I think Coleman Egan is the team to not sleep on. Brindley Landis has been outstanding so far, and I think they're the type of team that they've got good inside-outside game with a great leader. I think they could be in the mix. And Chester at the beginning of the year was one of the teams that I thought after they get a little – practice after getting off the volleyball season, after they get into the swing of things, they're going to be really tough to beat, and that's been the case so far for them too.
Yeah, they're one of the teams that are in the top 10. They're the Flyers, and go look at their roster. A lot of those kids just coming off a state championship.
Don't forget about Corsica Stickney. They've got some really quality wins so far, and their only losses to Lyman and Parkson, who I think are going to battle it out for that number one spot next week.
All right, so those are just a rundown of the rankings. Again, we have to kind of move pretty quickly through them, but we'll touch on a little bit.
We got all year to talk about
all year. We got weeks and weeks before we get to March. The top tilts here for the next week. What are some of the matchups that you're looking at, Jandy?
Well, you got to look at Groton playing Clark Willow Lake. That's going to be a grind them out one. And then this weekend, you've got good games, between Jefferson and Aberdeen Central. That's going to be huge to me on the girls' side. All these listed here are going to be fun to watch, too. And then next Tuesday is one of the best nights of basketball we've had so far. You got Clark Willow Lake taking on Castlewood. You know, West Central boys against Dakota Valley. This should be a great matchup. Brandon Valley gets to play a really good Crofton team. And then all those girls' matchups, Sioux Valley Hamlin's going to be excellent. And O'Gorman Washington, I mean, that'll be a great test for both of those two teams who come in, as highly ranked AA teams.
All right. Well, every Wednesday you can catch Game Time on SDPB. Check out our YouTube channel. Again, it'll be out around sometime in the afternoon on Wednesdays. And then it'll also air on television at 10 p.m. Central, 9 Mountain on SDPB TV. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast version as well. We look forward to it. It's the People Show.
The People Show. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.